Again, a greeting in the name of Christ. Such a wonderful moment. You have been such a blessing to my heart, my life, just to see you here. Many of you, most of you, probably 99% of you, I don't know. But somehow there's something that is in your heart, and that is that we're looking for light for our path. You know, and I just appreciate so much the truth. Just a couple comments here before we go into prayer and then into the message. Did you ever notice that when evening comes, we don't have two switches. We have the light switch and we have the darkness switch. How do we bring darkness into the environment? All we have to do is remove the light. And when we remove the light, darkness is the absence of light. And you know, we all came into this world and we've had very dark times in our life. Darkness away from God. And that's why this beautiful light came, to bring to us an illumination on our path. We're all on a journey. If we could tonight see the whole world moving towards down this trail to the throne of God, and there is God, and there He is, and there is light, and there He is, and here we come. It's our turn to meet God. What will He say, and what will I say? That's the moment we're at tonight. Would you now stand with me as we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can come to You as our Father. You're the everlasting Father. You are altogether lovely. There's beautiful things about You. You are such a lovely God, such a loving God. You don't destroy us. You are longing and wooing for us to come, and to come and to find rest in our souls, to find peace for our heart. You are the beautiful light, and You pierce our darkness. You come into the darkness of our rooms and the darkness of our hearts and the darkness of our struggles, and there You want to give us illumination and help us out. God, tonight, would You come, and would You just speak to my own heart? I give my heart to You tonight, and I pray, oh God, I humble myself before You. Lord Jesus, here are my friends, and they've come for bread, and I have none. And God, I come to You tonight, and I beg You, would You give us bread from heaven? Feed us, O God. Show us the way. Show us the path. We're in the end times, and it will be soon that You will come. We don't know when, but we know that we're in the end times, and everything is pointing to an end of our life, an end of the world, an end when You will come again. And God, tonight I pray that You would prepare us to meet You. We know that we'll have a meeting someday, and it'll be You and I, and just You and I. And what, oh God, I thank You, Jesus, that You have a way for us so that we can meet You and hear those words, "Well done, You've done what I have called You to do. You have bowed Your head and bowed Your heart and changed Your life and followed Me." Oh God in heaven, would You help us all now to be in that journey with You, oh God, tonight. Bless us, oh God, as you open the word. I ask, oh God, that You would bind the wicked spirits, the demons and devils, in Jesus' name, every hindering spirit. Don't allow them to be here. And God in heaven, would You speak to my heart. Lord, I'm the needy one here, and I pray, oh God, would You just flow somehow through that vessel that is so unable, oh God. I acknowledge it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Again, a greeting in the name of Christ. It's wonderful to be together, to seek God together. It is my desire tonight that God would be glorified. It's not important that I'm here. It's not important that you see me. But it's important that we meet God tonight, that we meet Him, that we talk to Him, that He talks to me. You know, in the churches today, and in probably most of us go to some church or have been in church. We were probably carried to church from our young years, and we spend our life in church. But you know, in a group this size, it is very possible that not every one of us understands what it is to be saved by the power of God. And I hope that tonight God would help us. Would help us. I was one of those young boys that grew up, a very ungodly boy in the Amish church, and I didn't know my way out. I didn't know what to do until one night. I had fire in my destiny. I knew there was fire ahead of me. And when I looked into that big boiler in our chicken house, and I was to shovel coal in there that night, the Spirit of God gripped my heart, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. I asked my father, and I said, "Father, there's something wrong in my heart. What do I do?" And he took me to my knees, and he said, "Kneel here in that dirty, filthy feed room." There we knelt, and my father, who was a preacher, he said, "You need to be born again." Well, I was like Nicodemus. How is that possible? How do I become born again? And there he led me, and I confessed all my sins and everything I did that I remembered. And I'm sure that my father, when he heard his little son at almost 14 years old confess his sins, I'm sure that he thought, "I didn't know that you were into those kinds of sins," but I was. I was afraid to die, but that night God changed my heart, and it was such a beautiful journey since. May God help us. Title of my message tonight that God has been laying on my heart, I've entitled, "When the Dogs Bark." When the dogs bark. Some years ago, a businessman walked into a sheriff's office in the Midwest. He walked in there and he said, "I came to tell you that I murdered a man in the New England states," and he gave the state, 23 years ago. "And I moved west to get away from my sin. And I've been out here." The sheriff took the report, contacted the sheriff's office in this state, in the New England, and verified that indeed there was a murder 23 years ago that was never solved. The U.S. Marshals came to this man. They asked him this question: "Why, you have been living a good life for 23 years. You have a business, you're known in the community, things are well, you have a family, you got married, have a lovely wife. Why did you could have just been quiet and no one would have ever found out." He said, "When I walk down the street and someone bumps into me, I'm in constant fear that someone will find out. I'm in constant fear that they will find out and I will be taken." And he said, I cannot continue to live like that. When someone bumps into me, I think there's the cop and he's out to get me." He said, "I can't go on." You know, the dogs were barking in his life. I want to use that analogy tonight as the conscience. You know, there's people today that have a lot of dogs that are barking. And we try to shut up the dogs. And I have been trying to shut up the dogs in my life. I spend a life is trying to get those dogs to quit barking when I went to bed at night. That man went to prison. But he found a freedom because he confessed his sin. Thomas D'Angelo was too young to buy whiskey. He found a stranger at the bar, and he asked him if he would buy him whiskey. And he did. And after he had bought it and gave it to him, they had a fallout. And Thomas, the young boy, killed this man, Floyd Ebbs. He was never questioned because he was so young. The case was closed. Years later, he was jailed for a robbery that he had committed. Thomas was. And he started reading his Bible. And as he started reading the Bible, this murder came up in his mind. And as this came back, the dog started barking in his life. And that conscience started barking. And as it started barking, it got louder and louder and louder. And he confessed to the police. He said, "I'm the one that killed Mr. Ebbs." He spent 15 years in prison for that, but the dogs quit barking in his life. There's another man, Brian Hawkins, 44 years old, from California, turned himself in to the police one day. He said, 25 years ago, I murdered a 19-year-old boy. He said, the secret, the guilt is eating me up. The dog barks every day. The dog barks every night. My conscience is barking, and I don't know what to do with it. And finally, he confessed and made it right. His conscience was barking. And that's my message tonight. When the dogs bark, something that has caused me to cry out to God as a circulator among the Anabaptist churches across our country here. Saints are struggling, people are struggling in the church with besetting sins. And you know, it's easy to sin. One of the easiest things for us to do is to sin. I remember how I loved to sin. I liked my sin. I followed my sin. I looked for opportunities to sin. I was a sinner, and I loved to sin. But then I had those struggling nights when the dogs would bark. That conscience was barking. You know, you would think that you should have no thought about finding sinners in the church. But let me just share this. There are many people today that have two lives. One is the seen life, and the other one is the secret life. My message tonight is about the secret life. One of the binding things in people's lives is things that we are hiding. Things that we are hiding. I had a dog at home, and whenever I opened the door, that dog would lie on my front porch, right at the door. And whenever I turned the knob, or anyone turned the knob, the dog would bark. The dog was lying at my door. You know, Jesus knocks on our door. Jesus knocks on our door, and no doubt tonight he's going to knock on many hearts tonight. He's going to knock on our door. And you know, there may be some parts, some doors in our life that we would like to tell Jesus, "Jesus, you can open this door. It's okay, but Jesus, not that door." That's one area that I have been closing up, and I don't want that door to ever be open. Thank you. I don't want that door to be open, because whenever that door opens up, something starts barking in my heart and in my life. You know, God gave us a beautiful spirit. There's a spirit within us. Man is made, and this is a, let me just quickly say this. Man is a body, a soul, and a spirit. Within the spirit of man lies the conscience. And that conscience is what the Holy Spirit uses to alarm us when we do wrong. That conscience can be trained wrong. That's a message of itself. I won't go there. But I want to look at sin. I don't want to look at what sin does. You know, every book in the Bible speaks about it. There's 1,000 places, 1,000 times the Bible speaks about sin. We only get to the second chapter and then we start reading about sin. Abraham dealt with it. Moses brings it up. Jesus spoke about it. He talked about it. He warned about it. Paul addressed it as he wrote to the saints in Corinth and in Ephesus and Galatia. There was a constant talking about sin. Sin is a curse upon us. It is something that wants to be a part of all of us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. I want to just verify and confirm some things about sin tonight, and then we'll move on. Romans chapter 6 speaks about sin. If it is such a part of the human race, then we need to look at it. We need to understand something about it. Sin is something that will have impact upon us here in life and in our future. Romans 6, verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin because grace has come, that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Look at verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Don't let it be a part of you, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. But sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Grace comes through the mercy seat that we just sang about tonight. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether it be to sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. You know, it is not possible to retain sin in our hearts and sin in our lives and hide sin in our being and be right with God. Sin will never allow us to be right. We cannot be right with God when we have sin in our hearts and lives. But how sinful is sin? You know, one of the things that's happening in our culture today and in our society and even in church life today is that the world has been changing their view of sin. Man has been changing. The religious people are changing the view and changing how they think about sin. Churches are changing their view. You know, stealing, I read in a newspaper here just some time ago, and it was making reference to someone that was caught stealing. And this is what it said. It said that they were charged for removing without permission. Well, that's what does the Bible call that? Thou shalt not steal. But the world says they just didn't get permission. You know, see how the world is changing their view of sin. The world is saying that abortion is a choice. It's not murder. See, it's changing the concept of sin. Pornography is adult entertainment. It's not sin. It's okay. It's adult entertainment. Let me ask you, how do you feel? Is it sin or is it not sin? When we diminish the way God looks at it. Someone a while back in the public arena of politics spoke a lie. And they didn't call it a lie. They said that this person just misspoke. See, when we start watering down how God looks at it, you know, it doesn't. One of the things that I've been hearing is that we all make mistakes. We've all failed. We've all have failures. But did you know, if our sins are called mistakes, and if our sins are called failures, how will we ever find freedom in Christ? Because Jesus came to set us free from our sins. The word mistake and the word failure is never in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. And so now sins become mistakes. And if it's only mistakes, see, what is happening is it's taking the sharpness of the horrible sin, the horrible thing of sin, away from us. And as that happens, we start getting used to the dark. And we're so used to the dark. I remember when I was a boy, we had a doctor. And this doctor was a good doctor. We liked this doctor. Our whole family went there. And one evening, my father heard something about this doctor. This doctor divorced his wife. And at the supper table, he told us children, he said, "You know what? That is really wrong. That's a sin." And he said, "We cannot go to Dr. Mullet anymore." Now, let me ask you, do we know who our doctors, what our doctor's life is today? You know, we really don't. We're getting used to this. This is a common thing in our culture, in our society. We get used to the dark. And as we get used to the dark, we break down the resolve in our hearts to sin. And we go down that road. Let me ask you this question. Is your view of sin the same as God's view of sin? That's a challenge for me. Sin has become acceptable. You know, if we have sin in our hearts and sin in our lives, we need to see the awfulness. We need to see. And oh, I wish for the times again of what I saw back in my growing up years when we had tent meetings. And we would have tent meetings similar to these gospel meetings that we have here. We were out in a tent, and the preachers would preach the gospel, and the people would walk down the aisle, come up in front to meet God and to make right, to find their God. And you know, the spirit of conviction was upon people. And I long for that wave of holiness again. When people get, someone here a while back told me, "I wish the time would come again when people could weep and cry for their sin. They could cry because they see the awful, horrible state of their being." Had a man tell me his own story. I know this man very, very, very well. He told me this. I knew him. He was in the church. He was kind of a, just like many people are, Christian. Couldn't say he wasn't. No fire in his heart. Didn't seem to. Lots of his tongue was full of stories to make people laugh. He went to this church that where he could walk to. And he walked to this church. This was not the church that he had been to, but he went there by himself one evening, and the preacher preached the gospel. And the Holy Spirit came down upon him in such a real way. He felt the sin in his own heart. He had been stepping out on his wife, and he had been going to some of these nightclubs. And no one knew. His wife didn't know. No one knew. The church didn't know. No one knew. But that night, as he sat there in that gospel service, something started barking in his life. And he decided, "I'm going to respond." But then he decided, "No. Yes, I will respond. I need to get this right with God." But they didn't give an invitation. They didn't ask to come forward. So he went home. He decided the next night he'll go again. And if he gives an invitation, "I'm going to respond." Again, no invitation. But the Spirit of God was upon him. He saw his sin. The sin got so huge. The dogs were barking. He knew something was wrong. He was so afraid. He started walking home. And he had about a mile to go. And he told me this. He said, "I started walking home. I wanted to get home. And the fear of God came upon him. All of a sudden he saw that God could just take his life away and he'd be heading for hell. And he was in such great fear of God that he said, "I started running, and I started running, and I was afraid I won't get home in time before Jesus comes to tell my wife the whole story and pour his life out." Oh, if the fear of God would come upon us again, I'm praying that that fear of God would come upon us, that sinners would again become guilty before God. Oh, that the world would be, at every mouth would be stopped, and the whole world would become guilty before God. That's what we need. We all need to see my sin and let the barking dogs, let them bark. And if you hear them bark tonight, come to Jesus. Get rid of the dog. Try to deal with that barking dog. You know that man poured everything out. And that night, his wife heard things that she never knew. But he was so broken, he was shattered. And I watched that man, I watched that tongue. I never heard a story from that tongue ever since. Trying to make people laugh. Trying to say lighthearted things. Something changed in that heart. But it started when the dog started to bark. Let's not quiet the dogs. Let's see, why are they barking? Why is my conscience barking? Let me take you to Genesis chapter 4. I want to look at 4 points in this message. I'm going to be sharing quite a number of stories with you tonight to help illustrate what I'm trying to say. Here was a man, 2 boys. I want to read to you this story, and then I want to show you four areas. Genesis chapter 4, beginning to read in verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, or why are you angry, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou dost well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the earth, from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive the brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. Abel sacrificed with blood. Cain sacrificed to God with works. And here we see that God requires blood for sacrifice. Cain had something in his heart that no one knew. It was lying deep and it was covered. And one day it came out. And when he was done, Abel lay there and he was dead. And it was the very first death in the human race. You know, sin in Cain's heart caused wrong feelings towards his brother. One of the most hiding sins in the human family is jealousy. And jealousy always leads to killing, always leads to murder. We don't literally murder people when we're jealous at times. We know better. But we kill their reputation. We kill their name. We kill their testimony. And oh, how much people are lying in the churches under this murderous sin of jealousy. That's a message in itself. But the message this evening is about secret, the secret life, my secret life. Four things that happened when Cain sinned. Number one, sin lieth at the door, the Bible says in verse 7. And number two, in verse 14, it says, from thy face shall I be hid. And number three, verse 15, the Lord set a mark upon him. And number four, verse 16, he went from the presence of the Lord. And here are four things that will happen whenever we sin. These are things that will happen. I want to look at the first one. Sin lieth at the door. People have found many things at the door. We have found UPS packages. We have found many things lying at the door. When we go away like we do now, you know where we look? Where the mailman or the UPS man might have put something at the door. That's where he puts it. Sin in the heart will end up at the door. We think it's hidden. And even tonight, here we think we have things in our heart that maybe we don't think anyone knows. But let me tell you something. If we are hiding sin, hiding something in our life, it is very dangerous for you to be among godly, spirit-filled people. They are able to sense by the Spirit of God something is wrong. Maybe we don't know what it is, but something is not right. And I'm sure that if I am here tonight, and I'm preaching to you this weekend, and if I have something in my heart that is not right, you're going to see right through, and you're going to see something is wrong with that preacher. I know that. That's why I spent my time on my knees weeping before God. If there's anything in my life, let the dog bark. I want to take care of it. I want to see what's there. You know, God's blessing came to this to these two boys. It was at his door, but they couldn't get in. Because you can never have the blessing of God in your home or in your life or in your church when you allow and have sin in your heart and life. God will never bless it. Sin is a terrible, terrible sin. And sin will take us to hell. It will take us away from God. It will keep us from heaven. We will never, never get to heaven. You know the song, sin will never enter there. All within its gates are pure. Sin will never enter there. And you know, to me, that is such a... It causes me to just get down before God and say, oh God, is there something in my life I want to make it right? I want your blood to cover it. I want your blood to wash it away. I want your blood. I need help. I need help. You know, in Latin America, some of you have been there. Some of you know how it is there. But in Latin America, if they want, I've been in some of those huts. Some of those huts are dirt floor huts. Many of them are. But there's one thing that you will find. If they see someone coming, they will take their broom and they will clean right outside the door. You will find outside the door clean, even if it's dirt. That's where you clean. Because that's what people see. But the Word of God here tells us that sin lieth at the door. We think sin is hidden way back in that closet in my heart, but it's not. Sin will end up at the door. You know that dog that we had? He would go away. I caught him one time over at the in the little village of where we were. I don't know, a mile and a half away. One morning when I was heading for the airport to fly out of Cincinnati, I went over there and I wanted to get some cash from the ATM at the bank. And I was there at the bank, at the ATM, and I early in the morning, no one around, and I stood there and put my card in, and all of a sudden I heard something, and I turned around and looked, and there came Sambo. Sambo, you need to go home. I told him to go home. He turned around and went home. I don't know if he got what time he got home. But you know, often in the morning when the sun come up or before when we got up, Sambo was at the door. You know why he came home? Why he was there at the door? Because he was my dog. And if it's my sin, it'll end up at my door. You know, the sin here with Cain did not end up at Eve's door. It didn't end up at Adam's door. It ended up at Cain's door. And sin will always end up there at my door. If it lies at your door, it will bark. Cain carried the responsibility for his sin. You probably know this story. Some years ago, not so many years ago, in the state of Missouri, a plain man, his wife died. He left there and took his children then, married the mate that was helping them, and moved to a bordering state of your state here. He was there and in that church, and he was ordained in that church. And he started getting into the Word of God, because if you need to preach the Word, preach the gospel, where do you go? You need to go to the Word of God. He was a man that did not even know God. He didn't even know what it was to be born again. But he started getting into the Word, and he came home one Sunday afternoon from church. And that afternoon, he went to the phone shack and called the sheriffs and told him to come out. He has something he wants to tell him. When he came out, this is what he told him. 9 years ago, I killed my wife. I poisoned my wife with battery acid, sprinkled it in her food to kill her. She was dead. They thought she just had kidney failure, and that's why she died. But he said, I killed her. And the dog was barking, and he just could not handle it anymore. That man is today in prison, away from the children, away from that second wife. Sin comes back to your door. You can hide it for years and years and years, but one day it's going to show up at my door. At my door. There it is. There it is. Some years ago in a western town, two men were boarding in this house. They were boarding this house. And in the middle of the night, they opened the door and left their apartment, tiptoed down the alley, went over to the service station. No one around. They broke into the service station and they stole a paint sprayer and some tools and a toolbox and some paint, and quickly left, tiptoed back up the alley into the room, and no one saw them. And they were looking at what they got. Sometime later, some hours later, there was a knock on the door. And you know what? The dog started to bark. They opened the door, and there stood the police officer and the service station owner. And he said, sir, I understand that you're the one that broke into the service station. And he said, no, I didn't do that. We didn't do that. Yes, you did. No, we didn't do that. And then the policeman finally told him, "Sir, we know you did, because one of your paint cans was leaking, and we followed the paint all the way back to your door. Sin will always come back to our door. We can never sin successfully. And every sin we ever commit, we're going to face it again. You can never, never get rid of your sin until Jesus comes and He takes my sin away." And that's why Jesus came to Calvary. Tonight, brothers and sisters, friends, we ought to thank God of heaven the rest of our days and walk with Him and follow Him, because He's the only one that can keep us out of hell. He's the only one that can deal with my sin, because we're all sinners. There's no one good. The Bible says everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all been there. I've been there. We've all been there. You know, tonight, it's not who's the best one here. We're all the same. And I include myself with all of you. We've all been wrong. We've all gone down the wrong way. There's none good. No, not one. They've all gone out of the way. They've all become unprofitable. That's what the Bible says in Romans 3. We're all there, and we need to all come to Jesus. And if we never come to Jesus and we never deal with my sin and the dog keeps barking and I keep shutting him down and I keep telling him to shut down, but something is barking in my life, "You're wrong, you're wrong, you need to deal with it. It's in the record books of heaven, my sin." God will keep record. The Bible says, I think it's in, I want to say Ecclesiastes, it says that there is a bag, that God watches over the bag of my sin. God is watching my sin. And once we give our sin, once we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, repent of our sins, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive our sins, that He raises the record for me. Oh, you know what? I had such a long record. There was so much guilt in my life. I had struggles in my life. But you know, Jesus came. And often when I would sit in church, I would hear the barking dog. In fact, I had some preachers marked. There was one preacher that would often in his message talk about confession. And you know what? I didn't like that preacher. Oh, he was a wonderful man. But could he not just speak about something else? Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe you are thinking, why does that preacher talk about this? Brothers and sisters, friends, let me tell you this. Unless we deal with the sin that I am and the sinner that I am and the sins that I committed, we'll get to the in front of God one day, and the dogs are going to bark all over, and God sends those dogs. He's the one that allows that conscience to bark. He allows that so that we do something about it before we get to the judgment day. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's what the Bible tells us. You know, secrets in our heart become burdens on our back. I was having a week of revival meetings in a distant state. People were responding. People were moved. People were getting saved. People were changing their lives, confessing their sin, coming forward to pray. And on a Friday night, I preached a message, and I'm not sure what I preached on. But that night, they had, I think, four ministers there in that congregation. And that night, unknown to me, there was a minister sitting on the front bench, and the dogs were barking, and they were so loud. He told me later, "I could hardly sit anymore." People were responding, but he said, "I needed to go back to my wife and to my family before I respond." I went home, didn't know about this, and no one knew about this. No one in the church, not even in the family. I got a call from him at where we were staying, and he said, and he was crying, and I said, and he said, can we meet? Can we meet tomorrow morning, Saturday morning? I need to talk to you and the ministers. And I said, sure. Well, Saturday morning came, and he came over. And this is what he said, and this is an open thing, and that's why I'm able to share this. He said this. He said, last night, I couldn't hardly wait. The fear of God came upon him like it did for that man that had to start running. He said, I couldn't hardly wait until I get home. And I got my family together, and I said, this is what I told them. Some years ago, before he was ordained, he said, I was going on the road in this little village, little town, and I stopped at a four-way stop, and a woman came, crawled into my vehicle, and we went down the road, and I committed adultery. Later, that church was having an ordination, and he told God, he said, God, if I'm going to be ordained, then I know that I don't have to tell anyone. It's all taken care of. He told God he's sorry, but he never told his wife, never told the church, never told his fellow brethren. And that's how he lived. Now, we can all know about some things that were wrong with all of that, but I'm saying this. That night, it was not all right with God. We can tell God many things. God, I know you forgave me. I don't have to tell anyone. He was a part of the church. When we're a part of the church and we sin, we hurt the church. We hurt the body. There he was. And oh, how he wept. And oh, how he cried. He went back to his wife, told them everything, told his children. He had grown children. He had children, young people. And he was useful. People appreciated him in his congregation. But you know, that night, sitting on the front bench, the dog started to bark. That conscience started to bark. And you know what? When we really get close to God, we get into the presence of Almighty God, and we get into the presence of the Spirit of God allowed to come and to speak, that's when we know truth about me. That night, it wasn't okay. The next evening, he came up to the platform and shared with the congregation. I think everyone in that church was weeping. One of their leaders stood there and just poured his life out and confessed and cried before them. The family came up. The whole church came up. I think everyone in the church was up praying for him as we prayed and cried and wept. One of the greater revivals that happened. Sometimes we look at our church and we wonder, why is the church like it is? You know what? Maybe the church is like it is because of who I am. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the one. Am I bringing holiness and purity to the church? Or am I bringing rest to the brotherhood? Or is it maybe me? Maybe it's me. That man quit preaching. Is still faithful to the Lord, but is not actively being used in that capacity anymore. But you know what? He told me the dog is not barking anymore. That's a beautiful thing. I know that some of you know what I'm talking about. It's beautiful when we take our sins to the altar and we leave it there with Jesus. And you know what? It doesn't, they don't come back. They don't come back. Secrets in the heart become burdens on our back. You know, the adulterer may hide his sin until judgment day. The thief may cover up and never be caught. Wicked hearts, evil thoughts may remain unexposed. But one day, there it is. I share it with you last night. I don't know how many of you were here last night, but I share it with you last night how that I was struggling, and I had committed a sin 10 years earlier. It was a horrible sin, and I had told myself, I don't have to tell others. I don't have to go to the church. I don't have to tell my brothers. But that night, when our daughter was screaming and crying, and we were on our knees for 2 hours, weeping before God, and I gave everything to God, that night I heard the barking of my conscience. I heard those sins kept coming back. You know, if we get real close to God, and some of those things come back, let's take care of them. God is so faithful. You know, we're all ashamed to expose ourselves. I know what it is. But what if at the end of our life, there we are, naked and open, with there we are, and there is God, and God knows everything. And then it's too late to do anything about it. We're still in the day of grace. Let me ask you this question tonight. Is your conscience barking tonight? Or are we really clear before God? In the church today, in the churches today, we have set to ourselves many things that are not true. We have told ourselves it's okay. I remember one time when we were ready to get down on our knees to pray, and a young man said, "Whoa, I need to confess something." And he said, I told God I will never, ever tell anyone. Never, ever will anyone find out. But you know what? That night, the conscience was barking. And God was using that conscience to remind that brother. And that brother knelt down and he confessed, crying before God, his sins. And God forgave him. That man got married. One day he was up in the attic of his shop, and he was putting insulation in there, and he fell down through the insulation and lay there, and his son watched him go, and quick went came down, and there was Dad. But he left us, and he is gone. But you know what? What if the dog would have still been barking in his life? He took care of those things that night. And oh, that's what we need to do. If we want to meet God, we need to take care of those things that are barking in our life. See, God does not clean sin. You cannot sanitize sin. We cannot undo sin. We cannot redo them. If we have committed them, it's in the record book. The only thing we can do is be forgiven. And the message tonight is that Jesus Christ forgives us. There's a tremendous hope for us. Like our song tonight, at the mercy seat, Jesus comes and he helps us. And it's a wonderful thing to be free. I've been on both sides of that. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. Let's look at the second point. From thy face shall I be hid. This is what God told Cain. From thy face shall I be hid. Sin will hide the face of God from our life. And if God is far away for you tonight, you need to go back and look. And no doubt, most of us know if God is far away, we know why he's far away. Maybe tonight we've never even ever been converted. We've never given our heart to Jesus Christ. We have never had a real deep life-changing work of the new birth in our hearts and lives. But tonight, God can change all that. In Isaiah 59, it says this, and let me read. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities, your self-love, your That's what that word iniquity means here. Your love for self have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Sins will hide God from hearing us. God, unless we come in repentance and we say, God, here I am. I'm done. I want to tell you what I did. Please forgive me. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive. Had a young married woman, call me one day and wondered if her husband could come and talk with me. She said he is in a deep struggle in his life. When he came, he said, I don't read my Bible. I haven't read my Bible in 2 years, and I don't pray. Part of the church? Yes. People believed he was living for the Lord? Yes. But he wasn't. It's amazing what we can hide. He was a very quiet, shy man. That's what I thought was wrong. It was hard. I worked with him for 7 months to try to help him find freedom. And one of the things that he told me the first night, he said, I think it was something close to 10 years earlier in their youth group. He said, I committed fornication with one of the girls. And he said, but I know that's not my problem. That's not what is wrong with me. We kept on going. He had a lot of hurts in his life. Kept on going, trying to find. One day, finally, I came back to him and I asked him one evening, I said, so you're going down the interstate tonight, going home. What if a car comes across the interstate and hits you head on, where would you go? He looked at me and he said, I'd be going to hell. What an awful thing for people to know that they're going to this fire, this horrible fire, this dark burning where people are screaming and crying, where their teeth are chattering because of the heat, and they're screaming and crying, and you know you're going there and you're not doing anything. And Jesus is here waiting. Would you come? Well, that night he told me that. I finally told him, I said, you need to confess. Did you go back? Did you confess your sin? No, I never did. I told him, if you want to be free, you need to go back. He said, oh, that would be terrible to tell people. You know what? There is no one in this room that would have any less thought about you. I think I'm safe in saying this. If you would confess your sins to God, even tonight, we would all believe that God is going to change you and God is going to erase your record. And he's going to prepare you for your home in heaven. Well, I told him finally, I'll go with you. I'll stand with you at the pulpit. But you have to do it if you want to be free before God. I called the elder, the leader there. They arranged a meeting. They were having communion the next morning. This was Saturday evening. I went up there and I stood there with him. And I told the congregation, this one of your own here, you know, I've been trying to reach out to him. He has something he wants to tell you. And he stood there and he said, I have been a hypocrite. I have not been who you thought I was. And he said, this is what I did. And he said, please forgive me. He cried, he wept, and then I asked the church if they could forgive him. They held up their hands. I saw some of those weeping there. He sat down. And I was ready to sit down when the Spirit of God told me, open it up. So I opened it up and I stood there. I never preached a message. I never said hardly any words. And I stood there for the next hour and I think three quarter. As I watched that church go through some of the most profound, the greatest revival that church had ever experienced before. And there was no message given, no message preached. It was a prodigal son that came home from that church. And he came home, and you know, the dogs started to bark, and they were barking all over that place. And I remember by the time it was all done, there were at least two others that were into the same sins and never confessed it. And they were ready to have communion the next morning. Let me tell you, friends, if we think God doesn't play church, God doesn't play church. God has truth, and sin will never enter into heaven. And if we allow sin in the church, and we think it's okay to drink, to smoke, to do all kinds of immorality and fornication, let me tell you tonight, on the basis of God's word, we'll never make it to heaven. Let's never think that we'll make it. We can't make it. The word of God will block us when we get to the door. I'm going to tell you a story at the end. I want you to hear that story. But you know, that young man said, I never knew such a burden roll off my back when I just shared and opened my heart. The way to freedom is to not hide anymore. To not hide anymore. I believe hidden sin is one of the most terrible curses in the church today. We can do many things and think it's okay and hide it. But you know what? God sees the heart. He looks in there and he knows my record. But let me give you hope. We can be free. That conscience can be set free where it doesn't bark no more, no more, no more. From thy face shall I be hid. If God is far away, if you've been close to God one time, but somehow God is just not there anymore like it was, listen to what you're hearing from the Spirit of God. Listen to what God is saying. God wants to draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. When we come close to God, God comes our way. And God is waiting and calling, and He uses the conscience to speak to us. The third point is the Lord will set a mark. There will set a mark. Sin will put a mark on us. We cannot sin with success. I don't know what happened, and some people feel that Cain here had a horn that was growing out of his forehead. Some people feel there was a ghastly countenance on him. Some think that he was trembling, and that he was a man that was constantly trembling, and that was the mark that God put on him. Sin will put a mark on us. Years ago, a farmer in the West went to town with his horses to go to the bank to draw out some money. This farmer had some struggles with his neighbor. These two neighbors were quarreling, and they had a lot of battles back and forth. And that morning he went to get some money, but he never came home. Remember, sin will put a mark on us. It will put a mark on us. The next morning, the horses were standing at the gate, but there was no sign of a struggle, and there was no sign of where this man was. The sheriff came, and because of the ongoing struggle that these two men had with each other, they arrested this man and thought that he probably did something. But they couldn't find enough evidence to put him into prison. And so they released him. Later, that farm sold where this neighbor lived. And many years passed. One day, there was a drought in that area. And their farm pond dried up. And when that farm pond dried up, there was a skeleton they found out there. And they went out there and they found the skeleton of a man. And they opened this case again, but they didn't know where this man was. He had a log chain on his neck. clearly to help him sink and not come back up. The sheriff found him in a distant state in the far west, in a nursing home, an old people's home. There he was. They went in there and they said, "Sir, are you the one that used to live on at this place, at this farm, this farm?" And he said, "Yes, I did." And he said, "Well, the local authorities there just found a skeleton of a man in that farm pond. And your neighbor that used to live there disappeared. Was that you that killed him?" He said, "No, I didn't do it. I didn't kill him." He was old and feeble. And they finally told him, "But, sir, let me tell you something. There was a log chain around his neck, and the initials, your initials, were on the log chain. It was your log chain." He still denied it. But he was getting close. Sometime later, just hours before he died, that dog started barking, and it barked, and it was so loud in his life. And he was going to meet God, and he was on within hours of meeting God. And he said, "I want to tell you something. That was me. I killed him, and I put the log chain around his neck, and I threw him into my pond." You know what? He wanted to be ready to meet God. Let me say to us tonight, if you hear something barking, don't push that off. It may be the grace of God to just tell us, "Get ready. You're leaving this world soon." And quickly, the last point. He went from the presence of the Lord. Don't expect to hide it. Your sin is sticking out tonight. It does. It sticks out. I was talking to my wife today, and I was confessing something to her. I told her, "I just want to be free. I don't want to stand here and tell you these truths and be guilty myself. I want to be free. I want to be free. If there's anything that is in my life, I want to be free. Because I know that the true freedom comes through Jesus by confessing, repenting." And God is so willing to help us, so willing to help us. He went from the presence of the Lord. He was a fugitive and a runner. He started running and he ran away from God. And that's what will happen when we allow sin to keep taking us. We will leave, we will go, and we'll go, and we'll go far and far. And sin will always take you further than you want to go. It'll keep you there longer than you want to ever be there. And it'll cost you a lot more than you think it will. It's a heavy price to pay to follow up my sin in my life. It sent Cain running away from God. When your conscience barks, when you hear those dogs, sometimes they're faint, sometimes there's more, and sometimes they're very strong, but when you hear them, those dogs will chase you, they will go after you, and they'll meet you and they'll bark until you're in your dying bed and at the end of life, if God has grace. But some people leave this world so fast, so quick, that they can't lie in their beds and think about it like this man did out there in the West and finally make it right. Let me tell you, in closing, why I believe this is such an important truth from the Word of God tonight. I want to tell you a final story. Maybe you heard this story. Maybe I told some of you it before, but let me tell it to you. This story was told to me by the daughter of this man that I'm referring to. She told me, she said, my father had a heart attack. He was away from home, like in town, not far away, but in town, and he had a heart attack. And he said, my father told me this story. And she was there. And when he had his heart attack, he fell over. He was unconscious. And he said, I started leaving. I started going up. And I was going up, up, up. And I kept on going. And it was dark. And I kept on going. And I thought, where am I going? And he said he looked back and he saw his body there. I don't know how all that happens. But he said, I kept on going, and all of a sudden I got to a point where I started seeing a little bit of light up ahead. And as he was looking for this light and saw this light, he all of a sudden saw, you know, this is a city. And he got closer and he thought, this is heaven. And he was almost at the door. He was just about at the door, and then a shining being came flying around, waving its hands and saying, no, 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 you can never enter here. There's something in your life that is wrong. You have malice in your heart. There's something wrong in your life. You may never enter. And he knelt down in front of that being, and he cried, and he told him, please, please, let me in. This was heaven, and I want to get in. But he said, no, you can never enter. And in his screaming and crying, he woke up in the emergency room in the hospital. And the family came, and he told the family, he said, please, they took him to ICU, and they said, please, please, there's a brother in the church. There's someone I know. I know why I couldn't get to heaven. I know why the door didn't open. There's something in my life. You know what? The dog was barking. It was even barking when he came back. It was barking in the ER. It was barking over in the ICU. And he said, go get that man. Bring him here. And the family went and got him. And when he came in, they allowed him to come into the ICU. And he said, brother, I have hated you. I've had jealousy. I was wrong. I didn't like you. But I was in heaven. I was at the door and I couldn't get in. My friends, make sure that the door opens when you get there. He begged him for mercy and asked that he would forgive him. He forgave him. He healed up from his heart attack. And some months later, 3 or 4 months later, he had another heart attack. And he left again, but he never came back. Isn't that the grace of God? Tonight, what is barking is your grace to get ready so that the door will be open to heaven for all of us. Let me ask you in closing, are any dogs barking tonight? We're going to have an invitation here tonight. Maybe you've never, never been born again. I'm going to ask you, if you want to get right with God tonight, maybe you have some things in your heart and you hear some barking. There's something going on in my life. I invite you to come forward. We're going to pray and then we're going to sing a song. And then we're going to ask you, if you want to be clean and clear before God, so that when you get to the door, you can go into heaven. Tonight is the night. Oh, do not let the word depart and close your eyes against the light. Why not tonight? Let's stand and pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, Thank you that the door of heaven can open to everyone in this room. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that will take our sins and even those things that have been hidden. And we told you that we will never, never tell anyone. Oh God in heaven, I pray tonight, give us freedom. Help us, oh Lord, to be clean and help us to be clear. Lord Jesus, walk through our pews tonight. Find us, oh God, and speak to us and help us to become clean tonight so that the beautiful gate of heaven will open when we get there. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray if there are those here that never knew you and don't know even how to pray, I pray, oh God, tonight have mercy on all of us and help us, oh Lord, to find the grace of God. Help us to be willing, oh God. Don't let the devil speak to us. We, in Jesus' name, resist him. And we ask, oh God, that your Spirit would now just minister to us as we stand here in your presence. We thank you that you are meeting our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Remain standing. Let's sing number 629. And as we start singing, if God has been speaking to you and you want to be clean tonight, you want to be free, you hear something barking in your life, come forward and someone will come. I'm going to ask those to come and support you and be with you, stand with you. You're not going to be alone. Come and God can set you free and prepare you for this beautiful, beautiful end of the journey. Would you come? If God is speaking to you, come. God bless you, young man. Would someone come and stand with him? Would you come? Would you come? Come and take care of that dog that's barking in your life. Would someone come and kneel with him? Let's keep singing. God bless you. Will someone come? God is speaking. Would someone come and be with this couple? We're not alone. Someone come for this sister. Friends, if you know God and you want to help, come and help them. Let's keep singing.
Thank you.
God bless you. Someone come. Come and be with this brother. Would you come? Thank you. Might the Spirit of God, my friends. God is moving and God wants to change lives tonight. Come and find your God tonight. God bless you. Someone come. God bless you. God is working. God is moving. Keep praying, saints. Let's be clean tonight. Let's get ready for our glory land. Let's get ready. I'm sure there's many others here that are hearing some dogs bark in the night. Would you come? Don't push it off. It's in meetings like this where our destiny changes. Where we change the destiny from fire to beauty and glory in heaven. Once we're through, we're going to have these that responded go to the back and they'll pray. Pray through and people will help you. If you need help, come. Come. Let's continue to sing. God bless you for coming. Someone come and help them. There's more coming. Let's keep praying, friends. We're changing destinies tonight. Those of you that know the Lord, come and help them. Come and help them. Let's keep singing. Was that 7:36? Would you come? God bless you. Would some sister come and be with his sister? Thank you. Those of you that responded, just stay here and then we'll all go to the back, okay? Them, just go out with them, okay? If you want to just go with them out, then at the end you can go back and sit, but then go with them to the back. Yes. God is working, God is speaking, God is changing. If there's anyone else, you want to find your God tonight, this is your moment. Mind the Spirit. People are weeping and crying their way back to God. Should that be you? Let's make sure. Let's make sure we don't see the angel telling us you can't enter. We all want to be in heaven. Can we continue to sing? Come. John, you want to come be with this young man here? The invitation is still open. If someone wants to come, someone wants to be clean, this is your time. We're going to close the service, but the invitation stays open. Is there someone else? You've been there. Your heart has been pounding. You know what God is saying. You want to come? You want to come? But it's just so hard. It costs so much. It'll cost you a lot more to miss heaven than it does to come forward and find peace with God. One last call. Is everything clear? Is there no barking going on anymore? God bless you. Let's keep praying for these. I'm going to ask those of you that responded, some of you that have gone back already, go to the back, and I'm going to let the ministry then go from there and help. Go to the back, and someone will come and be with you and help you through. We want to be sure that you find your God tonight. God bless you for responding. If you want to keep praying here, that's fine. I'm going to ask the moderator to come and close the service as he feels the Spirit of God leading. But go to the back and ministry take over.